Join us now, covers the team or writes for The Athletic and covers the Flames with the Canadian Press. It is Darren Haynes. Darren, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy to join you, and let's talk some hockey. It's August, so let's talk hockey, of course.
Yeah, well, it's all things Flames, my God. And let's start here. On July 21st, Matthew Tkachuk tells the Flames he won't re-sign long-term. I'm curious, how different is the outlook, the mood, everything about the Calgary Flames from July 21st to August 19th?
Yeah, no, I've been saying, like, they don't sell gravel in large enough pails to help fans get through the roller coaster that has been this summer. Like, it's really, yeah. Like, if you were to take the old GM approval rating for Brad Treliving back on back in July, as you mentioned, yeah, like, get this guy out of here. He's done nothing. You know, like people wanted to run that guy out of town. And now they're comparing him to, like, wizards and Harry Potter. And you see all sorts of different references and memes coming across social media. So it's, they were painted into a corner. And somehow, some way, they have come out with not only kind of salvaging a bad situation, but it could be argued with a team that's better than they were last year, which is, you know, the fact that it's even debatable is kind of bizarre enough. So yeah, it's really been some good work done by the GM that's really put a twist on what looked like is going to be some really tough times, lean times. The narrative, oh, nobody wants to play in Calgary. Look at these guys leaving Calgary. Boo Calgary. And yeah, and all of a sudden they've shifted that narrative and they're right back in the conversation and keeping up with the Joneses. This is this is the thing in Calgary. You've got to look 3 hours up the highway, and you do not want to see that franchise having success, being the favorite, being the one talked about. That's a big driver here, is always remaining competitive with Edmonton.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's similar to the Leafs in Montreal, but we won't talk about what happened last time those teams played in the playoffs. And yeah, you tweeted out about it, but the fact that it's even debatable is remarkable. And let me ask you, Darren, like, I was on air talking about this as well. Like, when Johnny Gaudreau chose Columbus, when Tkachuk said, I don't want to be on a team that has done a lot of winning, that has stability at coach and at goalie, and I want out. I mean, I was one of the people wondering just what is the viability of Calgary as a hockey market. I mean, I do understand why people were wondering that.
Yeah, no, it was a tough go. Like, you know, and of course, when you think about it from a hockey perspective, it's like, okay, well, this is like Connor Bedard year. Maybe this is a rebuild, and people had that rebuild thinking going on. But it's funny, the rebuild thinking lasted, didn't even last as long as the Calgary Stampede, and then all of a sudden it was that rebuild was over, and they had Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar, kind of two big pieces that came back in that Tkachuk deal, and then of course adding Nazem Kadri yesterday was another a coup, you'll say.
What is the name of your dog?
I have a couple of miniature dachshunds. Okay. So Romeo and Pippa are big fans of the show.
Well, of course. Listen, we rate very well with men aged 18 to 25 and dogs as well. It's our two biggest demos out there. We're joined by Darren Haynes, who covers the Flames for the Canadian Press, writer for The Athletic. All right, so let's pretend we've had some adult pops and we're having a discussion. How close in terms of talent, like, between last year's Flames team and this one, how different are these teams in terms of roster construction, and is one better than the other in your mind?
Yeah, well, it's interesting debate, right? Because even though Huberdeau came for Tkachuk, the obvious comparison there is Gaudreau and Huberdeau, right? They tied for second in the scoring race this past season. They're both playmakers. They're both the same age. They're both left wingers. So that's kind of a one for one. I think I would call that a soft. So we're good there. So then you talk about, okay, how about Tkachuk and Kadri? Well, look, Kachuk is, what, 24, 25 years old? Kadri's going to be 32 when the season begins. So I would say Kachuk's the better player there. But the wild card in that equation, though, is Matthew Tkachuk, for all the reputation that, hey, this is going to be a playoff guy, this is exactly what the Flames need, he's had some pretty underwhelming playoffs. Kadri, on the other hand, not so much. We saw that guy 2 months of him just this past spring. And so that kind of that closes that gap a little bit in terms of, you know, when it counts the most in the postseason. And then, of course, you have the wild card in Mackenzie Weegar. Now, he's 1 year away from UFA for now. But if they can even get him signed, then that really kind of puts them over the top. But even just looking at this next year ahead, Mackenzie Weegar comes in as a top pairing caliber defense, somewhere in that top four. And that's at expense of probably like a third liner or third pairing guy like Eric Gabranson. So I would say the case can definitely be made that this team is better.
Your thoughts on the Kadri 7-year, $7 million a deal season?
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, he's going to be 32 when the Avs come to town. That's actually the season opener for Calgary is against Colorado.
Really? So
That's a good storyline. But yeah, when someone is 32, you generally do not want them on year one of a 7-year deal. I think we can all kind of agree that you're, I mean, yeah, Joe Pavelski had a great season at, what, 38 this past season, but there's not that many Joe Pavelskis out there. So I think the term is certainly going to make some people nervous, but this is not about right now the 2029 season, the 2030 season, the 2031 season. This is about right here, right now, a window to win, whether it's 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, that's kind of what they're looking after here. So the Huberto deal, he's going to be 30 when his 8-year contract kicks in. So those deals may not age that well, but forget about that. You know, it's kind of like it's go time right now. So getting back to Kadri, they got the number down to $7 million. I think he was asking for a lot more, and if they wanted to probably get him for 4 or 5 years, it would have been $9 million. But they got it down to $7 million just to kind of with that extra term, and that sets up this team now to add maybe even another piece. And Kadri is a guy that replaces that kind of sandpaper that they lost in Tkachuk, so that's going to be a real positive because the Flames really coveted that Daryl Sutter. You know how he likes yep. his guys to be greasy like that. So Kadri is going to be a really good fit from so many perspectives. Center, flexible center, can play 1C, 2C, a veteran, that playoff track record is going to be really coveted. And it's that friction, that sandpaper. I mean, him and Evander Kane, I look forward to the Battle of Albertas. I think those are going to be just as spicy now that Kadri's in the fold here. So, yeah, he checked a lot of boxes for what they were looking for. And, now it's just, if only we could fast forward 6 weeks and see how it plays out.
Is the ceiling for the Flames same as it was last year or higher?
I think it's, you know, you like to think it's higher because they also have some young guys that are still accumulating experience. And so even though they went out in the second round last year, that's 1 round longer than some of these guys had on their resume. So if you look at a guy like Andrew Mangiapane, he's got a little bit more experience now. Chris Tanev hadn't had that much playoff experience. You know, he was hurt a little bit for that playoff, but you know, he's motivated now. So they've got, and this is an older team now too, right? This is, they have six forwards in their 30s, if you can imagine, right? So this is definitely a win now. But I think there's going to be opportunity. Like, I think this team has a chance to do some damage, and you know, where's the one position that matters most? Ultimately, it's usually the goaltender, and Jacob Markstrom definitely has the ability to go on a run and to be that guy. I mean, he was Vezina quality for most, basically all regular season, and then he just really had a bit of a bad series against Edmonton, and that really sunk them. So Markstrom alone is a big piece to have in net. So if they all kind of get what they expect out of the players, from the goaltender, from the younger defense, and the new forwards that they've added, they should definitely be in the mix.
It's incredible that we're having this conversation in this context versus what it would have been on July, say, 22nd, 23rd. Darren, before I let you go, and Darren Haynes has been joining us from The Athletic and covers the Flames with the Canadian Press. What's Montreal getting back in Sean Monahan?
Yeah, so LeSean Monahan is, he's not going to be the guy that's talking nonstop post game. He's never been like, you know, there's a Twitter account got created very early in his time here called Boring Sean Monahan, and it just kind of had these kind of dry comments, the kind of thing you would expect, you would hear it in Sean Monahan's voice. But you know what? He's a soldier. He's a warrior. He played through a ton of injuries. You just read some of the articles about before they ended up shutting down in seasons where they weren't making the playoffs. He's been through a lot. He gave this team everything. Like he was the face of the rebuild. 2013 when Mika Kiprusoff and that whole guard, the old guard got kind of moved out of town. He was the first of the new. He was that first round pick that made the team and stayed in 2013. And all he did was score goals. Like he was a really good goal scorer. He's just got a knack for finding that soft spot in the ice. And boy, with a lethal combination with his buddy Johnny Gaudreau when Gaudreau got here 1 year later. So Monahan, you hope he's coming off. They shut him down early last year to have more surgery. From what we can tell, he's recovered fine and he's recovering fine. So if he can get back to full health or at least better health, they've got a guy who's not going to cheat you. Like that's what you're getting in Sharma, is a guy that's not going to cheat you, and he's going to score some goals and he's going to score some clutch goals. And I'd like to see him do well because certainly gave this franchise everything he could in his time here.
Well, as a Toronto-based show, I'm going to have to push back on that last sentiment, but certainly you do root for a guy. It's tough for him to get traded, and you wish him nothing but the best, aside from if they're playing the Maple Leafs. Darren, really appreciate you joining the show today. Calgary Flames, the moment the Stanley Cup ended, the Calgary Flames have been the number one hockey story from then until today. So I appreciate you taking time.
Yeah, I think they want to be the number one story next May and June, though, not July, August. And I think that's what they're going for.
We will find out. And absolutely. By the way, the Flames are 16-1 to win the Stanley Cup. That's better odds than Pittsburgh or the Rangers, and just slightly behind the Edmonton Oilers. But in mid-July, that number would have been 25-30-1. So a remarkable turnaround by Brad Treliving and the Flames. Thanks so much for joining the show today.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.